Good morning. I see all my friends are here. This meeting of the House Special Committee on Fisheries will come to order. The time is 11 o'clock on February 22nd, 2025. Members present are Representative Kopp, Representative Hemschut, Speaker Edgman, and myself, Chair Stutz. We have a quorum to conduct business. Please silence your cell phones. We're asking any members in the audience, please do not approach the table. If you need to pass a note, please get a hold of my committee aide, Jane Pearson, and she'd be happy to help you. And I see, thank you, Representative Vance has just joined us as well. I'd like to thank Andrew Magnuson, the House Fisheries Committee Secretary, and Naomi from the Juno LIO for teleconferencing and support. Today's meeting, we will have a second hearing on HB 93, an act changing the residency requirements for hunting, trapping, and sport fishing privileges and providing for an effective date by Representative Hemschut. Our first hearing on this bill was February 18th, where we heard an introduction of the bill and closed public testimony. Furthermore, my office received no amendments on HB 93. It's your lucky day, Representative Hemschut. It's my intent, if it is the will of the committee, to move HB 93 from fisheries today to its next committee. At this time, I would like to invite Representative Hemschut and her staff, Thatcher Brower, back to the table to give a committee a recap on HB 93. So if you would please place yourself on the record and give us a brief recap.
Good morning, Chair Stutz and committee members. My name is Rebecca Hemschut, House District 2.
Good morning, Chair Stutz and members of the House Fisheries Committee. Thatcher Brower, staff to Representative Rebecca Hemschut.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak on the bill one more time. House Bill 93 seeks to align the requirements, qualifications for hunting and fishing with the qualifications for the permanent fund dividend. The reason to do that is to make it more enforceable when there's question about residency for someone who's enjoying the fishing game resources of Alaska. This will assist the troopers in making not necessarily more arrests, but more effective arrests, or not even arrests, but more effective citations where they're needed. The other thing that it will do is it'll preserve the resource for the folks who are here year-round. So if you're here shoveling snow with us, please help yourself to the fish and game resources within the limits that residents have set on them as well. The resident license fees are lower and bag limits are higher on certain species. So the goal of this is to improve enforcement and to preserve the resource for Alaskans who are trying to raise their families and fill their freezers to do that. Happy to answer questions.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee?
Nope.
Seeing none. Thank you. We also have online Joe Feckel, legislative liaison for the Department of Fish and Game, and also Captain Aaron Frenzel, who is an Alaska wildlife trooper, if you might have any questions for either of them. Representative Vance?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I do have a question for, I forgot his title.
Frenzel. Frenzel?
Yes. I'm looking at the sheet that our DPS liaison provided with a question about how many investigations they have per year. It says the wildlife troopers average 118 residency investigations per year. And my question is, how many convictions, how many are those legitimate violations and concern, you know, that end up in a prosecution?
Captain Frenzel, did you hear the question from Representative Vance?
Good morning. For the record, this is Aaron Frenzel, Deputy Director of Department of Public Safety, Division of Alaska Wildlife Troopers. Through the chair, Representative Vance, I started looking at that number, and doing that deep of a dive is just going to take longer. So I gave you our rough estimate of average. I took a five-year average of investigations. Through that, it takes us to go to the Department of Law to see what cases they actually would accept. Some of our cases, we don't actually charge. We forward them to file the charges, and they might decline prosecution or accept it depending on how they feel the case looks. There are some that we can take where they are The strict liability offenses I mentioned at the last hearing, that's a violation level. That we have to do a dive into court view to see actually what was found guilty on or not. And then additionally through court view, looking at the one that did go to the Department of Law, we could potentially mine that out of there as well. But again, it's takes a lot of effort to do that for 118 cases. And then each of those 118 average cases we investigate, some of them when they're involving multiple years of residency investigations, multiple counts of false statements on fishing licenses, and then taking big game animals or other animals in Alaska or fish, it might be 20, 30, 40 charges per an incident.
Follow up, Representative Vance?
No, thank you. I'm just trying to grasp, you know, the how widespread of a problem this is, and the difference between someone complaining about something that they saw versus something that was a legitimate violation. And I understand the deep dive that it would take, but I appreciate, you know, being able to distinguish between some of the cases.
Appreciate it. Representative Kopp.
Question for the Deputy Director, Madam Chair. I did miss the name. It was Aaron Ritzel.
Thank you. We are back on the record. And first, let me correct myself. I keep referring to Major Frenzel as Captain Frenzel. So please correct the record. We are speaking with Major Frenzel from the Alaska Wildlife Troopers. And I believe you are about mid-sentence, Major Frenzel. So you can continue with your thought if you can remember what it was.
I think I was asking him.
Oh, okay. Representative Kopp.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Major Frenzel, from an enforcement perspective, could you comment if you think there is a benefit to aligning the residency requirements of the hunting, fishing, trapping licenses so they are at least similar to the permanent fund dividend residency requirements?
Through the chair, Representative Kopp, having a exact number of days allowed to be absent for the state would make enforcement easier. The division, the Department of Public Safety, we are neutral on this. The fact that it is a decision on what makes an Alaska resident for the purposes of hunting and fishing, we know clearly what that is for PFD, and we have a good idea of what that is for hunting and fishing, but the amount of time a person can be gone is not defined, and it allows people to be an Alaska resident for hunting and fishing purposes with being in the state very minimal amount of time.
Thank you.
Any further questions?
just a comment and wrap up.
Certainly. Yeah. Representative Kopp.
A comment allowed, Ms. Amshire? Thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
Madam Clerk, I know just from a, it seems like from a field perspective, from an enforcement officer, in the friendly conversation on the initial contact, asking them about their residency, most people who are residents do apply for a dividend. I mean, very few who are do not. And almost everybody has a smartphone, and if they have applied for a PFD, they can quickly show on their smartphone just by looking at their email history, entering in DOR or PFD, and it'll show every single filing application you've done in the last 10 or 15 years very quickly. And I think it's just one more tool enforcement has that the average person who was legally claiming residency would have no problem showing the trooper or the officer that Yes, I did file for a PFD. In fact, it's right here on my smartphone, like everything else, and it's easily searchable in your email history because almost everybody does it online. Nobody does a hard copy anymore. I think it's a good bill. Even though the eligibility requirements aren't exactly the same, I can see that it would make that non-adversarial initial contact with someone go a lot easier, especially if the conversation became, is this person really resident? Did you file for a PFD? Yeah, can you show me really quick and I'll be on my way. You know, it just it seems to me like a good tool in the box. That's just my comment. I thank the bill sponsor for bringing it forward.
Thank you. Are there other questions or comments?
Madam Chair.
Representative Hedgman.
Yeah, I only offer this comment, and I support the bill as well, but the PFD residency requirements are January 1 to December 31, so there's an impact there where somebody could come into the state in February and not be able to moose hunt that year or fish that summer, right, as a resident, because they've got to wait until the, you know, the next year and then serve out the entire calendar year. But they can still get sports fishing licenses, right? And hunting licenses.
Through the chair, one difference between the requirements of the bill when it passes versus the dividend is it really only has to be a calendar year that you're a resident to qualify for hunting and fishing.
Oh, that's right.
Not a calendar year, but you have to 1 year from the date you arrive versus the PFD standard of a calendar year. So if you arrive in February, you cannot get a dividend for that year because you need to be there January to December of one full year, and the following year then you can get your dividend.
Through the chair, thank you, because you did mention that during the initial hearing. I guess as I look down the road and I think of a couple of residency cases that were very expensive to go through the court process, this could have fiscal implications, just to be upfront about things. So
thank you. Representative Vance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I share the concerns of the sponsor about being able to protect the privileges that we have as Alaskans and making sure that they're not being abused. I still have a lot of reservations around just the mechanics, the specific mechanics of the bill, not the idea itself. In Section 2, it talks about the definition of resident being physically present in the state with the intent to remain indefinitely and to make a home in the state. And there has been some language that members of the other body and myself have, with the governor's office, have been working on around defining a resident of the state regarding our elections. And so I would like to continue working with you on this. I didn't have anything prepared because I didn't want to mess with the bill until I have something that I think is a better idea. But we have continued to have questions about how we should define a resident of the state that I think all of us can work on. And my goal is to provide consistency in law because it seems like we are bumping up against this issue about what it truly means to be an Alaskan and enjoy the privileges of residency, and is something that we should take very seriously. So I'm going to be a no recommendation today, but with a commitment to continue to work on this with you. And I will provide you language that we have up to this point to see what you can do to if it fits within this bill, because not everything fits in the same space sometimes. But I agree with the concept of protecting our rights and privileges as Alaskans and helping law enforcement enforce it, because it doesn't matter what area of law that Department of Law is addressing when it comes to residency. It's extremely loose, and the courts rest on someone's intent, which is very, very challenging to prove. So thank you for bringing this forward, and I look forward to continue working on this.
Thank you, Representative Vance. And I would agree with the comments from Representative Vance. We all know that as Alaskans, our hunting and fishing privileges are near and dear to us, and we treasure them and find ourselves a little bit annoyed when we have people coming from outside and taking advantage. I understand that I will just suffice it to say I agree with the previous members of this committee's comments. I'm delighted to see something that might help our enforcement. So I'm in support of your bill, and I agree that maybe it could be fine-tuned just a little bit, but you have another committee that it will be heard in, and so they may have some ideas that we didn't have. So with that, I thank you for your time, Mr. Brower and Representative Hemshoot. And if there is no objection, I would entertain a motion. Representative Edgman.
Yes, Madam Chair, I move to report House Bill 93, version 34-LS0058/N out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Hearing no objection, HB 93 version 34-LS0058/N is reported out of the House Fisheries Committee as with individual recommendations and any attached fiscal notes. So we will take a brief at ease to sign the documents. Back on record. With that, our next scheduled House Fishery meeting is Tuesday, February 25th, 2025. At that meeting, we will be hearing two confirmations. Rick Green, Commissioner for the Alaska Commercial Fishery Entry Commission, and Mary Swain for the Fishermen's Fund Advisory and Appeals Council. And with that, with no further business to come before this committee, we will adjourn at 11:26.